Get your Bibles out, if you would, this evening. Matthew chapter number 7, I want you to look at verse number 24, and once you find Matthew 7, 24, I would appreciate it if you would stand with me. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24, and I'm going to read from verse 24 all the way through the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse number 24, the Bible says this: "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, and he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Bless the simple teaching tonight. And somehow, Father, help it to help us. May those that face extra pressures right now glean something that will help them so that they'll better survive the pressures of life. Now, Holy Spirit of God, help me. I want to do the truth justice, and I pray, God, that that will happen tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I'm going to come back to the scripture in just a minute. I don't know if I would be, I suppose as a teenager, I was a bit ornery. If I had friends and they'd come over to our house and maybe we would have a pop or a soda, if theirs was setting about and they had not opened it yet, one of the funnest things in the world to do to someone is when they're not watching, you grab their soda and you give it one of these. And I'm teaching you the Bible now. Yeah. And how many of you have ever had that done to you? How many of you have ever done that to someone? Okay, all right. So this, Brother Edwards, is your pop, by the way. I was doing some studying and I couldn't figure it all out. But, you know, that can of soda right there can handle a lot of pressure. You do need to be careful. You take a 2-liter bottle of soda, you can blow facial parts off if it's all done right. And so, we used to do that as a prank. I will tell you this. There, I suppose, are right and wrong ways to get the pressure out of that can. You do want to handle it right. If not, I was thinking we might illustrate. If not, it will make a mess. If I gave this can to Brother Edwards and I said, "Go ahead and pop that thing open," he would end up with a mess on himself, and he would end up with a mess all over the platform, and Mrs. Hart would have to clean it up. Of course, she's used to that, taking care of Rich all the time. Boy, it might even be that somebody sitting close enough here, they could end up in the mess as well. And you know, I think if we don't handle pressure right, we make messes on ourselves, make messes that others have to help us clean up, and sometimes we end up even hurting someone else or soiling someone else. If you were listening a moment ago, we were reading from Matthew chapter 7. And there's a story about the building of a house, one upon rock, one upon sand. And the house being built upon rock or sand is not the part of that scripture that I want to bring to your attention. The Bible said that this house that's built on the rock, it said the rain started to come down. And not only did rain start coming down, then the flood started coming up. And then it said the wind blew. Now, I associate all that with pressure. I see the rain coming down as pressure from above. I see the flood coming up as pressure from beneath. I see the wind blowing, picturing pressure from all around us. And the Bible said that there was a house that was built on rock, and when that pressure from above came, and the pressure from beneath came, and the wind came, and the pressure from the north, south, east, and west, there was a house that stood firm. Then there was another built on sand, and the very same, I think it's trying to tell us, the very same pressure from above and pressure from beneath and pressure from all around came. And that house, though, it crumbled. Now, probably the same pressures and some of the same type pressures, but one situation survived it and then another situation did not. I would like us to be as solid as a rock. I think we are, and so you all know, we are to be good Christians even when we're under pressure. I can't go into all the kinds of pressure. There are pressures that you and I, there are problems that we create for ourselves, and so we get ourselves in messes. And there are the struggles of life and those things that happen that we didn't cause. There's all sorts of pressures. I can't sort through all those tonight and help with those. But I am going to talk about pressure, and I am going to talk about some things that I do to help myself with pressure. And I'm going to give you some very practical things. Like I said, homiletically, this sermon, I'm not pleased with it. But I think if you'll listen to me, even if you got one point out of what I'm going to say and it helped you with the pressures of life, it would be worthwhile. So I'm just going to tell you some super practical things that I do to help myself with the pressures of life and a variety of pressures. But this is what I do. So let me start out by saying, number one, one of the best things I do for myself is I have learned to put pressure on myself. I have learned to put pressure on myself. Could I tell you this? If I will push me, I am less offended later on when others push me. Matter of fact, if it has to do with responsibility, most of the time what I've discovered in life is what people were expecting of me was less than what I expected of myself. And so their pressure didn't really bother me. And I wish you would all understand that. Listen, there's some of you, you're just so soft on you. The slightest pressure comes on you, you don't do well with it. So, learn to push yourself, and you will be less offended when others push you or others put pressure on you. There's some of you that if you would put a lot of pressure on yourself when you go to work, the boss can't exceed what you're already expecting of yourself. And so, you're not offended with the boss. But I'll tell you this, if you never expect anything out of yourself at work, you're probably offended constantly. You just constantly just feel like they put so much pressure on you. The workforce of today is anemic, and most of them are a bunch of weenies. They don't want any pressure. So one thing I do is I have learned to put pressure on myself. And by doing so, when other pressures come upon me, many times they do not exceed what I already put on myself. So I'm not really that bothered by it. Number two. There's something else I do. I put pressure on before the extra pressures come. I put pressure on me before the extra pressures come upon me. I'm going to use an illustration. It might not make a lot of sense to some of you. Many of you, it might. Sunday school teachers, this would make sense to you. Preachers or teachers, this would make sense to you. I put a lot of pressure on me to have my sermons and my lessons and things done far in advance because I really don't want to be up at midnight on Saturday night still trying to figure out what I'm going to preach to you on Sunday morning. It being now, of course, church starts at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning around here. Let me tell you something. You talk about immense pressure for me is if I don't have a sermon when I wake up on Sunday morning, I am just about fit to be tied. I'm ready to take the next cruise ship to China. I want to get out of here. I can't stand that kind of pressure. So what I do is I keep pressure on me so that when other pressures come along, I'm staying ahead of it, if you will. Listen, I think that preparation reduces pressure. Now, some of you, you do not prepare. You know there are pressures coming, and you do not prepare for those pressures. So when they come on you, you crumble. So let me say it again, and this is probably the best way to say it. It probably should have been worded this way in the first place. Preparation reduces pressure. There's some men in here that help me when we plan our national our youth conference that we have here. You know, I don't know how all churches do it. I know what a lot of them do. If they have a conference a couple weeks before, they start throwing it all together. We have a meeting the week or so after our last youth conference. We start planning a year ahead. So you know what happens when it's time for our youth conference? We're not bottled tight, ready to explode, hurting ourselves and anything and everything around us. No, we found out that preparation reduces pressure. And some of you, if you would learn that, it will help you. You wait till the last minute. If you're a procrastinator, you're going to bring pressures into your life that are not healthy for you. Okay, so I said, number one, I put pressure on myself. And by putting pressure on myself, many of the pressures that come upon me don't even amount up to that pressure. So I survive it a little better. Secondly, preparation reduces pressure. Then thirdly, I try to keep my regular duties current so when extra pressures come, my regular duties are not, they're caught up. And this extra pressure that comes, I'm not dealing with a backlog of regular duties and some new pressure, some new responsibility. So, again, let me put it this way. Today's procrastination intensifies tomorrow's pressure. And so, look, if you have regular responsibilities, could I recommend that you keep all that current? You may not know what pressure you're going to face this week. Right. You may not know what big burden is going to come on you this week. You say, well, how can I prepare for that? Keep all your regular responsibilities current so that if a sudden pressure comes upon you, you don't collapse under it because you're worried about the fact that you're already running behind from all your other responsibilities. Now you've got an additional responsibility. So, I said, number one, I put pressure on myself. I said, number two, preparation reduces pressure. I said, number three, today's procrastination intensifies tomorrow's pressure. Number four, you can handle present pressure, but I don't think God created us to handle past pressure or future pressure. Let the responsibility of today be the one that you deal with. So let me help some of you. You live in the past. Well, God gives you the grace and the strength to handle today. Did you know that you do not need the strength to handle tomorrow's pressure today? Because tomorrow's not here. And I don't know about you, but I've learned some of the things that I speculated that was going to come on me tomorrow never even came, but I sure did freak out today and use up a lot of energy on my tomorrow worry. So folks, don't live in the past, and you can't live in the future. Succeed today. There's some of you, you really do need to let the past go. Die to it. But I'll tell you, you say, I feel like I'm going to blow up. A lot of people that are going to blow up are trying to deal with pressures from the past or pressures from the future and the pressures now. And all God has promised is strength for today. So if you want to help yourself, Learn to forgive, forget, leave the past behind you. Take care of today. Leave tomorrow in God's hands. You do that by faith. And suddenly, do you realize that if you are dealing with past pressures, future pressures, and current pressures, if you'll let the future take care of itself and drop the past, you've just cut out 2/3 of your pressure. Amen. You say, well, then you're making it sound too easy. What I'm doing is I'm analyzing pressure for you so you can understand it. Okay, let me go on. Number 5, don't ignore pressures. Fix what problems you can. Don't ignore pressures. Fix what problems you can. Now, I can't fix everything, but I fix what I can fix. Here's what happens. If pressure starts building up on me, now I'm just like you. For a moment, I can get overwhelmed with it. And I'm thinking, oh, goodness, what am I going to do? But you know, pretty quickly I say, there are things getting to me. I think I'm going to make up a list of what's getting to me and start fixing things. And I get me a list and I think, what's getting on me here? You ever had the slightest little stupid thing that is just frustrating you to no end? Probably it's not that one little thing, it's many things. And you're even asking yourself, why is that? Why am I so upset about that one little thing? The other day, I was here at the church and there was one little thing that wouldn't matter to anybody in the world. But I would look at that thing and I had some pressures coming on me, and that one little thing, I walked by it and I was almost mad at it. It was an inanimate object and I was almost angry. And I was in the church alone and I looked at it and I was going to tell it off. You all laugh, but you know what I mean. Little things get to you. You know what I did? I went to my office. I made up a little list. I thought, I'm getting frustrated. And on my list, I put that thing, and I went and I fixed that thing. And I said, let's show you. It don't bother me anymore. But folks, let me tell you something. You know what happened? Pressure begins to come. Sit down and figure out what pressures you're facing. And the things that you can fix and eliminate off your list, fix them. Eliminate them. Now, there are some things you can't change. But I think what happens is when pressures come upon us, we almost get overwhelmed a little bit by it. And did you know that ignoring a bunch of things that need to be fixed doesn't make them go away? I, every day of my life, get up. I'm a list person. I, every day of my life, get up and I make a list. I thrill at marking things off my list. I love conquering things. I even put things on there that are easy, so I get to do it. Yeah. Say, I did. But I'll tell you this, when I prepare the list and I start marking things off, I watch the pressure reduce. So, I don't ignore pressures, but I fix what I can. Number 6. This is just maybe an approach or maybe it's a philosophy, if you will. But, you know, some people feel like pressure pushes you down and it condenses you. But I feel like it expands and grows you. Some people don't want pressure. I do, because I've seen what pressure does in my life. Pressure can make you better. It does not have to make you worse. Pressure is a part of life. Every lady in here who's ever given birth to a baby understand that pressure is a part of life. There is immense pressure involved in birthing a child. But the birthing of that child brings life. And folks, pressure is a part of life. Be careful that you don't consider all pressure bad. Now, this can that I have for Brother Edwards up here that I've been shaking, and we'll have him open it in the parking lot if he's got the courage. I should say that to Caleb. Where's Caleb Seavey? Yeah. Caleb, the other day in the men's prayer breakfast, he said, I'm the kind of guy that if you tell me I can, I will. Caleb, I don't think you can open this can of pop in a parking lot right into your face after church. But some people think that somehow that pressure, it will destroy you. I'm not real sure that's true. I don't think pressure is out to destroy us. So be careful, because do you understand that if all pressure is bad to you, then you're just going to have a rough time. Do you know that my attitude is when pressure comes, I don't look at it as all bad? You say, well, what's God trying to do to me? I don't say that. You know what I say? What's God trying to do for me? God is molding me. God's growing me. So there's a little bit of an attitude thing that you want to work on in regard to pressure. Don't run from all pressure. Don't always make pressure bad. Pressure is not always a negative. Matter of fact, some feel like pressure pushes you down. It condenses you, but I feel like it expands you and it grows you. Let me go on. This is very important. I wish I could get everyone to understand how important the next point is. When pressure comes my way, added pressure, extra pressure, heavy pressure, I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give me extra control and wisdom as I go through this pressure. Now let me explain to you. When you make the mess with the pressure, you are behaving or reacting in the flesh. Every time you and I are under whatever kind of pressure, and we make it into a mess, we were responding in the flesh. If I could just respond to pressure under the influence of the Holy Spirit, if I would respond to pressure by behaving the way the Holy Spirit would have me to behave, I wouldn't create a mess. I wouldn't make things worse. I would make things better. So, I've got to tell you, the Holy Spirit is kind of my run-to anyway. If something's happened to me and I can't figure it out, I run to the Holy Spirit and say, well, I don't know what's going on. Help me. If I'm about to face a pressure, I run to the Holy Spirit and say, I'm going to need help getting through this. And I know I'm to be a Christian and I'm to have dignity, but right now I'm at the edge of my dignity. Help me. I'm going to lose it. But understand, if you walk in the flesh, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or what you'll do is you'll let your flesh respond. And when you respond to pressure in your flesh, it's like popping the top off this can. You're going to blow something all over you. You're going to make messes that others have to help clean up. You could even hurt somebody. So, when pressures come upon me, especially extra pressures, I pray to the Holy Spirit. I say, God, control me and give me wisdom to handle this pressure right. Pressure to me insists that we walk in the Spirit. Did you know pressure teases your flesh? It teases your flesh. Pressure is trying to draw you out, trying to get you to act in the flesh. You got to walk in the Spirit if you want to succeed in this life. Pressure unveils our weaknesses. When the pressure comes on and you respond, now you've turned it into a mess, you go, oh, brother. I've been trying to work on that. In that case, in a way, pressure's been your friend. The other day, I was coming out of my office and I think the back of my collar of my shirt was sticking up. Tyler came over. He said, preacher, if you don't mind, I'm going to fix you. I said, well, thank you, Tyler. I appreciate that. My friend revealed something that needed to be fixed, and I'm glad he did. Sometimes pressure can be your friend if it reveals to you things that really do need to be fixed. You say, why? Well, Tyler didn't want me to embarrass myself. But you know what? I think Tyler also, I think he respects me as pastor, and he didn't want me to even embarrass my leadership. Can I tell you something? I don't think the Holy Spirit wants you to embarrass yourself, and I don't think he wants you to embarrass your leadership or his. Walking in the Spirit makes a big difference when it comes to pressure. You'll make your biggest mistakes with pressure if you're responding in the flesh. Let me go on. I need to hurry. Pressure, my belief is, and I think the Bible teaches this, pressure preserves us. Pressure preserves us. Do you know all of you that have been through what we'll call the battles, the hardships, or the pressures of life? Do you know if you responded to those right, you are stronger because of it? Have you watched people that have never been under any pressure? When the pressure comes, they collapse. They fall apart. Matter of fact, you lose them. I don't know how many of you have gardens or have had gardens, but when I was growing up, we had a garden. And we'd pick green beans. And y'all know what snapping green beans is? We'd pick green beans, we'd snap the green beans, and then my mom would get ball canning jars. And matter of fact, I lived very near the Ball Corporation in Muncie, Indiana when I was growing up. And we would use ball canning jars. And my mom would put those green beans and some water, a little bit of salt and down inside those green beans. And then she'd put them in the pressure cooker and she would put the lids on it and all. And do you know what? The pressure put on the green beans preserved them. And what would happen is the pressure would get hot enough and the lid on that thing would go. And you'd know. Y'all like that sound? Can you do it? No, you don't have it right. That's why you need a pastor that understands how to make neat sounds. That's very good, Caleb. Very good. Okay. But when that pressure sealed that jar, do you know what happened? You could eat those green beans 2 or 3 years later and they were still good. Strong, if you will. Now let me explain. Pressure can do that for you. I think I am still in the ministry today because I went through some pressure when I was a younger preacher and I let that pressure help to preserve me. Helps me to stick around, if you will. Some of you, let me tell you something, as you get involved in church, the devil's going to put some pressure in you. Learn how to take it. The veterans that are here, the Christians that have been around a long time, they're going to tell you, take it, you're going to be okay. It's going to help you to survive. Don't run just because a little pressure comes along. So pressure preserves. I would tell you this also. Training reduces pressure. Training does. You young people, you boys, girls, teenagers, you listen to your mom and dad. Your mom and dad are trying to prepare you to survive the hardship of life. And let me tell you this also. Mom and dad, you know, did you think mom and dad want you to clean your room because they don't know how? No. Do you think they want you to clean your room because they believe in slave labor? No. They know that you need to learn how to do it because you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to do it yourself someday. And training reduces pressure. I went to Bible college. When I was in Bible college, I'll tell you, I was one serious student. I learned what I was to learn. If they said, you better learn this, I said, I'm going to learn that. I want to learn that. I believe, because I took seriously my training, that it helped me to survive the pressures that I have faced in these many years in the ministry. Matter of fact, others that weren't paying attention brought upon themselves self-inflicted pressures because they didn't let the training prepare them. Training helps you to reduce pressure. Let me help some of you younger Christians. Did you know that if you'll come to Sunday school, and you'll come to Sunday morning church, and you'll come to Sunday night church, and you'll come to Wednesday night church, you'll have less pressure in the Christian life? Amen. Why? Training helps reduce pressure. Now, Let me go on. Did you know that the person who constantly caves during pressure, they're usually excuse makers. They don't usually want to take personal responsibility. Now, let me explain. If I cave under pressure, I'm the one that caved under pressure. If you cave under pressure, you're the one that caved. But they usually want to blame their leader, their boss, their follower, their peers. It's got to be somebody's fault that I caved. Be careful if you're an excuse maker. You're just not handling pressure right. Every leader in here, especially bosses, the bosses of this world are starved for someone that'll say, I made the mistake, I did it, I was wrong. Do you understand that most of society lives in a realm of denial? Wasn't my fault. Do you know that the people that would say to me, I did it, I'm guilty, it was my fault, I'm wondering if they don't have some leadership potential. The excuse makers, the hiders, the ones that cannot take personal responsibility, they don't make very good leaders. Somebody's got to say, my fault, the buck stops with me. But most people in our society is looking for somebody to blame. Let me go on. I love this thought. Think about pressure for a moment. Jonathan, if I told you to go over to the fellowship hall and get me a box of pressure, do you think you could find any? Hey, somebody give me a gallon of pressure. Fill me a bag with pressure. Really and honestly, what is pressure? Think about it. Can you see it? Does it have a smell? A taste? What is pressure? You say, well, I don't know what it is. Right. Might I tell you that pressure to some degree is determined by the character of the individual? For instance, you know that what is pressure to one may not be pressure at all to another. You ever seen somebody that's just like totally freaking out over something and you're saying, I don't get it? Pressure has a lot to do with you and your attitude. Well, and maybe even some of these things that I'm trying to teach you. There's some of you, you could reduce the pressures in your life immeasurably if you would organize yourself, do some of these practical suggestions about pressure, you could eliminate a lot of pressure. But really and honestly, if I said to you tomorrow, I want everyone to show up and bring me your pressure. Bring it in whatever container you want to bring it in. You'd all show up in empty-handed. So remember, pressure, you can't grab a hold of it. A lot of it's our attitude. A lot of it is what we think, how we feel, what we are. So get yourself close to the Lord so you'll be what you ought to be, and I think you'll handle pressure better. I would tell you this, and I'll be finished. Handling pressure will help to qualify you for leadership. We have a lot of military people in here. I'll guarantee you the people that were in leadership in military were people that handled pressure at least relatively well. Do you know that if you were listening to the passage of Scripture that we read earlier about the building of the house upon the rock and the building of the house upon the sand, and Jesus was speaking to them, and remember, the pressure came from above, from beneath, from all around, and there was a crash. I don't want you to crash, but what's that all about? Well, there's pressure. And one built upon a rock, one built upon the sand. I wonder how much that just has to do with on what you're depending and how you behave when you're in the pressure. But listen to what it says right at the end, and look this way. I want you to pay attention. Stop goofing off and pay attention right up here. Let me read two verses to you that are at the end of that story. It says this. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, Jesus was the one that was saying it, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe. Jesus had basically just been talking to them about these pressures coming and not letting them destroy you. And the people were astonished at the teaching. And they said, he is as one having authority. Now, I'll be real honest. Those that handle pressure right and well usually end up being the leaders. Which means this. You say, well, preacher, I feel like I'm under just a ton of pressure. Maybe God is trying to prepare you to use you. Don't take all pressure as someone's trying to destroy you. Now, somebody's probably trying to make you. Any military man in here or lady that went through boot camp, you were put under pressure. You were put under immense pressure. They were not doing that to hurt you. I know some of you say, I don't know, you weren't there. The whole purpose is so that you could survive the battle. So remember, in that passage of Scripture, they said, wow, that what I was just taught, that is leadership. So I believe this. I believe the pressures of life can develop our leadership. And if it is you're under a lot of pressure, it could be a compliment from God. God may be saying, I'm developing you. I'm strengthening you. I'm putting something in you that will help you as a leader. Every one of you, especially you young married couples, let me tell you something. Learn to respond properly to the pressures of life. As your children are growing up, those pressures become more immense. And they become bigger. And if you don't handle the pressures right when they're young, then how are you going to have the strength to handle the pressures right when they get older? And in all parts of life, develop your ability to respond properly to pressure. You and I are to live our life. The world's going to watch us. And when we go through pressures, we don't go get drunk. We don't go get high. What do? We respond God's way. We are to respond, and we're to have an element of spiritual dignity. Did you know that we're even told we ought to keep our joy? You say, but I'm under pressure. Well, I know, but God wants us to have joy, and God wants us to have peace, and God wants us to be strong. So what do we have to do? We're going to figure this pressure thing out. We got a lot of things. Boy, we've got people in here that work hard and you're facing burdens and heartaches, and maybe you caused some of it. Maybe you didn't. Maybe it just came upon you. But because you're striving to accomplish something or build something or be something, then you're going to face pressure. If you've listened, I told you, not a well-structured homiletical masterpiece. But if you've listened to what I've said, I've tried to give you something that will help you with pressure.